Welcome to Business Beat. Here each week, KBIA takes a look at the business and economic issues facing Mid-Missouri. I'm Christopher Husted. Coming up, we'll check in with some farm families about their surprising amount of corn crop this year.
The goal, I guess, when we're going through harvest is the combine keeps going. Because the combine's pulling it out of the field, so if the combine can keep going, you're doing a pretty good job.
But first, the curators of the University of Missouri System received a $1.8 million federal grant that will support research related to the production of small nuclear reactors at Ameren's Callaway County plant in Fulton. MU recently announced its partnership with Ameren Missouri and Westinghouse Electric Company on this project. Even with the potential job creation, though, there are negatives to the potential production, and not everyone is happy about the university receiving the grant. Safe Energy Director with the Missouri Coalition for the Environment, Ed Smith, says the risks that come with nuclear power and the waste it produces aren't worth it.
Federal money going to programs that support nuclear power while the Nuclear Regulatory Commission is still working to figure out how to store high-level radioactive waste from nuclear power plants seems very ill-conceived.
Last year, Ameren and Westinghouse were denied federal funding from the U.S. Department of Energy for the project to build the reactors in Missouri that could have provided hundreds of millions of dollars to the project. Smith was happy Ameren didn't receive the funding last year. Meanwhile, Senator Claire McCaskill said in a press release that she is in full support of the production of the reactors and believes the grant to the university will provide the state with opportunities and resources that can lead to job creation. Columbia's Downtown Leadership Council is seeking solutions for parking problems. KBIA's Kyle Jacoby reports.
One issue discussed at Tuesday's council meeting is student cars parking in residential neighborhoods. City Council member Ian Thomas says he thinks there is a more efficient way to solve the problem than adding parking.
And I'm thinking mainly of the bus system, which is much more efficient in terms of storage, but they still move people in and out.
Rather than expand roads and build garages, Thomas thinks offering viable public transportation would be more practical and less expensive. Thomas says Columbia needs a bus system that has buses arriving every 15 minutes and a system that accepts a single yearly transit fee to ride. Thomas says the University of Kansas and the University of Iowa State are among several universities who have improved bus systems, introduced a single transit fee, and have eliminated some of the need for parking spaces. Kyle Jacoby, KBIA News.
Harvest season is in full swing across the Midwest. And 1 year after the worst drought in decades, farm families are preparing to bring in a record-breaking corn crop. As Grant Gerlach of Harvest Public Media reports, there's some uncertainty in the air with falling corn prices, but this is a time of year when farm families focus on the task at hand.
I'm standing in a cornfield owned by the Friesen family in central Nebraska near the small town of Henderson. The Friesens have 1,100 acres of corn to harvest this fall. Right now, I'm going to climb into the combine with Nancy Friesen to see how things are going today.
So this is our second day out here that I've been driving, so I get a little stressed at the beginning, but corn's making great.
Nancy Friesen sits nervously at the controls of a giant John Deere combine that makes the corn stalks look like matchsticks. Normally, she's in the garden, not the field, but everyone in the family pitches in during harvest time. As she mows down the rows of corn, she recalls how different things looked last fall.
There was no green corn. Everything was brown.
Harvest 2012 came during the worst drought since the 1950s. While irrigation saved the Friesen's corn crop, not everyone was so fortunate.
I felt so bad for people in the other parts of the country that didn't have irrigation and had to watch their crops just burn up.
Scott Irwin, an ag economist at the University of Illinois, says 2012 actually had potential to be a bumper crop before the drought took over.
You know, it looked like an ideal growing season developing, and then a flamethrower was turned on the corn belt.
The drought has held on in some parts of the Midwest, but Jim Miller is finding relief in northeastern Nebraska, one of the hardest hit areas in 2012. I talked to him after hauling his first load of the day.
Well, I left home this morning at 3:30 with a load of soybeans to go to the processor, and yeah, we stay very busy.
Miller farms soybeans and corn near the small town of Belden, where he says harvest is back to normal.
Oh, the difference is huge. Well, on the corn last year, on the dryland corn, we had corn that was basically zeroed out. There wasn't any bushels out there to harvest.
This year, Miller's yields are average, around 160 bushels per acre. And that appears to be the trend in other states like Iowa and Illinois. Yields are good, not great. But that could still be enough to push this harvest into the record books. That's because farmers planted so much corn this spring, 97 million acres nationwide. The U.S. Department of Agriculture estimates the result could be a crop of nearly 14 billion bushels. And a record crop means the end of record prices. In fact, corn prices are down to around a three-year low. So the corn Kurt Friesen is bringing in from the field and dumping from his semi isn't worth nearly what it was last year. As golden grain rushes through a steel grate, dryer fans hum like a beehive. Friesen says he expected booming prices would begin to fade.
Ever since spring, when they told us we had planted 97 million acres, I kind of had an inkling that we would see corn with a 3 in front of it instead of a 5 or a 6.
Young farmers may have the most to lose with this year's harvest, like Jason Lewis, Kurt Friesen's 35-year-old son-in-law, who just joined the family farm full-time this fall. Last year, he was in a college classroom as a professor, not a student. Lewis admits his timing could have been better if he wanted to get in on high corn prices.
Yeah, if I was going to do that, I should have come back about 3-4 years ago when corn prices were really up. But it seems like every time there's been good times, they're followed by harder times. So you still have to work for it.
The PhD from Kearney pulls an empty trailer into the field for a refill. He has earbuds on so he can listen to podcasts while he waits. But when the weather's good, there's not much downtime.
The goal, I guess, when we're going through harvest is the combine keeps going. Because the combine's pulling it out of the field, so if the combine can keep going, you're doing a pretty good job.
After a break in the action, that's Nancy Friesen's cue to start back up. She plunges the combine into the standing corn. The Friesens will be working another month or so to bring in their harvest.
It is a good feeling when the corn is in the bin and we don't have to worry about it out here anymore. So many weird weather things can happen.
Like the drought. One year later, the Friesens and other farm families are glad to see more corn, even if it adds up to less profit. I'm Grant Gerlach, Harvest Public Media.
That's a wrap for Business Beat this week. You can check out these stories at kbia.org. I'm Christopher Husted. Thanks for listening.